The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagli Ago.
In the headlines, Ghanaian manufacturers asked to adhere to international standards. African peer review mechanism marks 10th anniversary. First Lady Lordina Mahama calls for firm stance against violence on women. Provisional results in Kenya's presidential election indicates win for Uhuru Kenyatta. And Venezuela's vice president sworn in as acting president. But first, the summary with Naja Bliago.
Experts on food and drug safety and standards have advised Ghanaian manufacturers to stick to good national and international production practices. This is to help reduce losses exporters incur due to destruction of their products abroad because of their inability to meet WTO standards. The appeal was made at a forum to address some concerns of small-scale enterprises in Accra. The Governing Council of the African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM, is appealing for more funds for its reviews as it marks its 10th anniversary today. According to the council, if funds are provided, it will help APRM come out with reviews that will promote development in Ghana and Africa. The council made the appeal at the launch of its anniversary in Accra. The First Lady, Lordina Mahama, has called on the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection to work with other relevant agencies and civil society organizations to strive towards the implementation of laws for the protection of girls and women and not only raise public awareness. This is because despite efforts by government, abuse, attacks and violations on girls and women still persist. This was contained in a statement to commemorate this year's International Women's Day celebration. Provisional results from Kenya's presidential election show that Deputy Prime Minister Uhuru Kenyatta has won. He pulled 50.03% of the votes, while his contender Raila Odinga had 43.8%. And Venezuela's Vice President Nicolas Maduro has been sworn in as acting president. The ceremony, which took place hours after the state funeral of Hugo Chavez, was led by the Speaker of the National Assembly, Diosdado Cabello, in the capital, Caracas. Mr. Maduro is suspected to call elections within 30 days.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. Experts in food and drug safety and standards are advocating that Ghanaian manufacturers, particularly exporters, adhere to good national and international production practices. In their view, this will reduce the losses exporters incur due to the destruction of their products abroad because of their inability to meet WTO standards. This was disclosed at a forum to address some concerns of small-scale enterprises in Accra. Eugenia Drimo has the details.
The private sector is said to be the engine of growth of the Ghanaian economy, but the sector has not seen much desired growth over the years. Lack of education and collaboration with the food and drugs, safety and standards institutions, aside from other constraints, especially financial, have crippled the sector with time. At a discussion on the challenges confronting the manufacturing sector in Accra, the president of the Association of Small-Scale Industries, Richmond Tete, identified poor understanding of the operations of the product certifying authorities as well as lack of decentralization of the operations of the Food and Drugs Authority, FDA, and the Ghana Standards Authority, GSA, as some key challenges facing the industries. Mr. Tete therefore called for more offices of the FDA and GSA to be established across the country. The Deputy Executive Director of Commercial Services, GSA, Frank Nagate advised Ghanaian exporters to work closely with the FDA and GSA to ensure that their products meet both national and international best practices.
Because they think export will bring more money, many of them rush to export. But every country has a requirement. If you don't know it, if you want to export to, say, UK or Germany or things, if you come to us, we'll tell you. They are not even aware of the information. So they package something, they put on flight, it gets to Europe, and they are destroyed because they don't meet their requirements.
The head of Food Inspectorate Department of the FDA, Kofi Issel, explained some interventions to support small-scale enterprises.
I think what we're going to do is to offer services in terms of training people who will be able to become technical experts to the industry. So you have a pool of technical experts who have skills and knowledge in a particular area in the food sector, or in the paper medicine sector, or whatever sector that we resist. It's a very great program that we're going to run.
That report was filed by Eugenia Jumo.
The School of Public Health, the Alliance for Reproductive Health Rights, and the Maternal Newborn Health Advocacy Coalition yesterday organized a blood donation in Accra. The donation was to save the lives of mothers and babies who die from loss of blood due to hemorrhage during deliveries and the postpartum period. Students from the West Africa Senior High School and the Opportunity Industrialization Center took part in the exercise under the Mama Yi Maternal Health Campaign. Asibi Bangui Kela witnessed the blood donation.
About 70 men die from blood-related causes in Ghana every day. It is against this backdrop that Mama Yi recently launched a campaign which provides a platform for Ghanaians to contribute to saving lives of mothers and their newborns. Statistics from the Ghana Blood Center reveals that the country needs about 25,000 pints of blood annually. Sadly, supply of blood only amounts to 100,000 pints. Of this, very little makes its way to remote and rural areas of the country. It is therefore not surprising that many lives are lost due to shortage of blood. A beneficiary, Mrs. Elizabeth Adase Akotia, talks about how donated blood saved her life.
10 years ago, exactly on 25th February, I went into a private hospital to deliver my baby. I was a very healthy patient, you know, very fit. I was admitted just after the birth of my child. They realized I was bleeding heavily. So I decided that I had to be rushed to the theater because I was bleeding profusely. I wouldn't stop bleeding. But my brother, who was a surgeon, arranged and they got only 2 pints of my blood type at the Devon Hospital. And by the time he came, he said I was paper white. This was, of course, woefully inadequate because it was a very serious matter. So they went again to the General Hospital and by God's grace, they got another 3 pints there. And another 2 pints was given to me. And then by God's grace, I survived.
An official at the Kolebu Blood Bank, David Doji Ahiajuru, who took the students through the process of blood donation, said people are just afraid to donate and allayed the fears of prospective donors.
You know, I want to use this opportunity to call on all countries to actually develop a positive attitude towards voluntary blood donation. If you have that voluntary spirit to actually always come forward to donate blood. Many times people are skeptical about the blood donation process, basically because of the fact that they are ignorant of the process, the fear of the unknown, and most people also don't understand why they should be asked to donate blood voluntarily without probably being paid, or if the blood is not going to be used for somebody who is closely linked with their family. As a society, we need to be each other's keepers. We need to help the poor in this way, especially those who are in need of blood, because nobody can tell when it will be your turn to also need blood. There's a saying that ever goes around, comes around. Blood is said that something that cannot be manufactured in any part, or you cannot go to any market where you can get this blood. So you must take an individual to donate the blood to save a life.
Mr. Hiajo said blood, unlike medicines, cannot be purchased, and entreated all Ghanaians 17 years and above to donate blood to save lives.
Asibi Bangui Kela's report.
In another development, an official of the Kolebu Blood Bank, John Ahaji, has conveyed the gratitude of the blood bank to civil society groups and voluntary organizations, including churches, for going to its aid when it was in dire need of blood. He said the situation is no longer acute, as enough blood has been stocked to take care of emergencies. Mr. Ahaji was speaking when the Christian Youth Builders of the Tema Zone of the West Volta Presbytery of the EP Church donated to the bank at the Kiseman branch of the church. We bring you more.
Early this year, the Kolebu Blood Bank launched an appeal for blood to help restock its reserves. According to Mr. Ahaji, who is the assistant chief donor recruiter of the Accra Area Blood Center, the response to the appeal has been overwhelming, and enough blood has been stocked to take care of emergencies. However, like Oliver Twist, it will still need more. Mr. Haji said, the National Blood Transfusion Service requires 250,000 units of blood a year, adding that currently there is no blood in the country which is self-sufficient. The assistant chief donor recruiter said they are not into detecting diseases in the blood of donors, so people should disabuse their minds that they would be tested for diseases like HIV and hepatitis B before donating. He said the blood bank only stocks safe blood to give to people who are in need. Mr. Haji said the blood bank never sells blood, but only charges a token processing fee. He said if the patient is already on admission at the Kolebu, the fellow pays 31 Ghana cedis, but if within any government hospital, 32 Ghana cedis is charged. Patients at private hospitals pay 35 Ghana cedis. Mr. Haji commended the CYB of the EP Church for donating regularly to the blood bank. The chairman of the Tema Zone of CYB, Isaac Ahiawonu, lauded the Kiseman branch of the church for its exemplary role within the zone and urged other branches to emulate it. He entreated the youth to desist from drug abuse and alcohol intake so as to remain healthy and fit. The catechist of the Kiseman EP Church, Foster Agbeve, commended the 120 church members who donated during the exercise, saying they have performed a civic responsibility.
A news desk report.
The African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM, is appealing for more funds for its reviews as it marks its 10th anniversary today. After the launch of the anniversary in Accra, members of the Governing Council of the APRM expressed delight at being the brain behind many social interventions, such as the Savannah Accelerated Development Agency, SADA, and the School Feeding Program, but stated that there is the need for more support to be channeled into its activities. This will enable it to come out with reviews that promote development in Ghana and Africa as a whole. Yvonne Atilego has filed this report.
The African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM, is an innovative and bold attempt by Africans to improve governance and the well-being of all citizens. Ghana was among the first 12 countries which immediately acceded to the APRM. In Ghana, the APRM has seen the successful implementation of the school feeding program, SADA, among other social interventions. The lead member of the governing council of the APRM, SKB Asante, said, due to the importance of the mechanism, the 10th anniversary will be used to raise awareness, reflect on its accomplishments and challenges with the aim of enhancing the effectiveness of the mechanism.
Focusing for us, our heads of state from Ufuor's time to Atamiru's and to the present, they've adopted almost everything. It was the APRM which actually recommended the idea of the Savannah Accelerated Development Authority. We recommended it. It's in our report. And this was adopted by the government. The APRM, which facilitated the creation of the Ministry of Chieftaincy and Culture. The APRM, which also came out on the idea of whistleblower bill, the school feeding program and all the mass transportation. All these came from our report. So that's what I'm saying, that fortunately for us, the various critical issues which have been raised in our reports, were made recommendations, have been adopted by our heads of state.
The lead panel member for the Ghana APRM eminent persons, Ashraf Rashid, called for redoubled efforts to ensure national ownership, enhanced inclusiveness, as well as the implementation of the recommendations emanating from the reviews.
We are now moving, hopefully, soon to a second review. And this is something which I know that the National Governing Council wants to see happening, the government wants to see happening, and I hope the other stakeholders also. And I can assure you that the panel of eminent persons, the secretariat, it's fully at your disposal to work closely with you, to support you, to support you even more than before, to have Ghana again in the forefront, being the first country to have a second review.
The 10th anniversary is being marked across the continent with a series of activities under the theme Africa Peer Review Mechanism, Working for the People of Africa, a Decade of Self-Assessment.
Yvonne Atilego filed that report.
We sincerely apologize for the wrong insert. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Ghanaian manufacturers are asked to adhere to international standards. African peer review mechanism marks 10th anniversary. First Lady Lordina Mahama calls for firm stance against violence on women. Provisional results in Kenya's presidential election indicate a win for Uhuru Kenyatta. Provisional results in Kenya's presidential election indicate a win for Uhuru Kenyatta. And Venezuela's vice president sworn in as acting president. We're back after this break.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The First Lady Lordina Dramani Mahama has called for a firm stance against violence on women. She said despite efforts of governments and various civil society organizations towards uplifting the image of women in Ghana, the abuse and attacks and various forms of violations on girls and women have not diminished. This was contained in a statement by the First Lady on the occasion of this year's International Women's Day. Mrs. Lordina Mahama appealed to Ghanaians to commemorate the day, recognizing the achievements of women towards national and social progress, and also realized that there are still challenges to be tackled as a nation. The First Lady said she is confident the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection will work with the other relevant agencies and civil society organizations not only to raise public awareness on these issues, but also strive towards the implementation of laws for the protection of girls and women.
Africa Center for Development and Integrity, CD Africa, an NGO, has called on President Mahama to pay special attention to issues of violence against women. The NGO is also urging the president to cause necessary legislative amendments for punishment for any man who abuses a woman in Ghana. This was contained in a release by CD Africa to mark International Women's Day. CD Africa also recommends to government to explore the possibility of introducing partial to full scholarship to all Ghanaian female children of school-going age up to the first degree level to enable women to contribute meaningfully to the development of the country. We called on all men to stand up for women and see women empowerment as a shared responsibility, and also encourage the public to help in their project named 50 Women MPs in Ghana's Parliament 2017.
Still on women, Parliament yesterday paid glowing tribute to Ghanaian women for their contribution to the development of the country. In a statement on the floor of the House to commemorate International Women's Day, the first Deputy Chief Whip and Chairperson of the Women Caucus in Parliament, Hajia Mary Salifu Burfu, reminded governments all over the world to pursue policies aimed at improving the lives of women and promoting their overall development in society. Reflecting on the theme, Gender Agenda Gaining Momentum, she stressed the need for women to be given good education, access to credit to build their businesses, and the necessary social protection to express their God-given talents.
This year's theme is to celebrate the achievements of women while remaining vigilant and determined for further sustainable change. Mr. Speaker, someone will ask what the gender agenda is all about. The gender agenda is about, one, elimination of violence against women and girls, two, access to education by the girls' hands, three, elimination of bad cultural practices, i.e. FGM and secrecy against women, four, improved maternal health. These gallant women have demonstrated that the call for women to occupy political positions is not just about balancing the male-female equation in politics or decision-making, but because women are capable of delivering the national development agenda, then giving the opportunity. Political parties should support and allow young ladies to participate in the legislative process of this country to address issues that affect the African woman.
MP for Tano North Frida Prempeh also made a similar statement to mark the day. She dwelt on violence against women.
Violence against women and girls is both a global and local societal issue. We do know that in our own country, Ghana, Violence against women and girls in all forms, including psychological abuse, trafficking, female genital mutilation, spousal battery, rape and child marriages are prevalent. The incidence of rape and defilement seems to be on the ascendancy if you are to go by the many reports in the media. Indeed, research by the Gender and Human Rights Documentation Center has, for example, established that one out of every three women in Ghana has suffered some form of abuse. We have worked hard to pass the Domestic Violence Act in 2007. We have also established relevant institutions such as the Domestic Violence and Victim Support Unit as part of efforts to address the problem. Despite these positive developments, however, implementation and enforcement of national and international laws on violence against women and girls are at best challenging tasks.
You have the MP for Tanon North, Frida Prempe.
The Women for Africa Foundation, with support from New York University and Santander Bank, has launched the Ghana Win Project in Accra. The project will ensure women in Ghana are provided with skills and knowledge towards social transformation and national development. The founder and president, Maria Teresa Fernandez de la Vega, said women contribute greatly towards sustainable economic development, and it is important to empower them with training in leadership, hospital management, and teacher training. Madame Fernandez de la Vega said this at the celebration of World Women's Day in Accra. Here's a report by Caleb Opong.
The Women for Africa Foundation is a Spanish NGO created to promote equal rights and opportunities for women to contribute towards nation building. As part of efforts to foster creativity and innovation among women, a three-year project dubbed the Ghana Win Project has been established to equip women with the necessary skills and education. The president and founder, Maria Teresa Fernandez de la Vega, said there will be a three-year nursing training for women in the United States and Ghana, so that they transform their town and environment free of disease. She said the social leadership program will not only afford women the opportunity to develop leadership skills, but also enable them to take part in decision-making process. The training program will also provide women the opportunity to become professional teachers. The acting dean of School of Nursing, University of Ghana, Dr. Ernestine Adonko, pledged her support to the foundation in selecting the right personnel for the nursing training program. She noted that the training will contribute to advancing the capacity of personnel at the university and the country.
That report was filed by Caleb Opong.
The Minister for Communications, Dr. Edward Omanibuama, has again stressed the need for Ghanaians to dominate the ICT industry in the country. He said a situation where the technology industry is dominated by foreigners should be discouraged. The minister made this known when he paid a visit to the management and students of the Ghana Indian Kofi Annan Center of Excellence in ICT in Accra. Linda Guji and Sophia Koko have filed this report.
The minister toured the Ghana Indian Kofi Annan Center of Excellence in ICT and also interacted with management and students of the center. The center, which is under the Ministry of Communications since its inception, has trained more than 11,000 students and participants in ICT across the world. Dr. Omanibuama stated that with an increasing population, the only way for the country to be on a sustaining path is through the development of appropriate technology. He noted that though the country is making strides in the ICT sector, there are still more things to explore. It is for this reason that he called for more local content in the sector. He also asked management of the center to embrace innovations to help catch up with the fast-growing technological world.
If there's ever a time that ICT can be well situated within the economic development agenda of our country, it is now. We have a lot of foreign participation in the ICT sector in the country. We want to encourage local content participation in that. You must also be ready to take advantage of innovations that are coming up. Sometimes in discussing the importance of ICT, we shroud it in so much jargon that it becomes very, very difficult for the citizenry to appreciate the relevance of this.
The Ghana India Kofi Annan Center of Excellence for ICT, apart as ministry, we will support you. That is
the only way.
The board chairman of the center, Kwekudu Adankwa, appealed to government to expedite the passage of the proposed Ghana Indian Kofi Annan Center of Excellence in ICT bill into law. The bill, when passed, will, among other things, enable the center to fully manage its own internal generated revenue. This, according to Mr. Dankwa, will help the center to advance and take advantage of innovations that come its way.
Linda Guji and Sophia Koko filed that report.
In foreign news, provisional results indicate that Kenya's Deputy Prime Minister Uhuru Kenyatta has won the presidential election by the slightest of margins. After all the votes were counted, he had polled 50.03% of the 4,109 votes over the threshold required for outright victory. But the official results will be declared this morning. Rival candidate Raila Odinga is likely to file a legal challenge if he loses. Mr. Kenyatta won 6,173,433 votes out of a total of 12,338,667, well ahead of his opponent who polled 5,340,406, representing 43.28% of the vote. However, both candidates have complained of irregularities during the course of the count.
A court in Egypt is due to deliver verdict in cases involving last year's deadly football riots amid continuing protests and police strikes. 52 defendants, including 9 policemen, will be charged over the riots in port, which left 74 people dead. 21 local football fans have already been sentenced to death in January. Yesterday, the military took over security duties from the police in the coastal city to try to defuse tensions. Some units reportedly left their headquarters after sealing them with chains. They were protesting against being forced by the government of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi to confront protesters, as well as lack of protection from prosecution. The chief of security forces was replaced yesterday to try to defuse anger among the police.
Venezuela's Vice President Nicolas Maduro has been sworn in as acting president hours after the state funeral for Hugo Chavez. The ceremony was led by National Assembly Speaker Diosdado Cabello in the capital Caracas. Mr. Chavez died on the 5th of this month after a long battle with cancer. However, the main opposition coalition boycotted Mr. Maduro's swearing in, saying it was unconstitutional. It argues that under the Constitution, the Speaker of the National Assembly should be the one to take over as acting president. The opposition leader, Enrique Capriles, called the move fraudulent after the swearing in of Mr. Maduro. Venezuela will follow the route to socialism, as acting president Mr. Maduro is expected to call elections within 30 days.
And on to end the news, the main points again. Experts in food and drug safety and standards have called on Ghanaian manufacturers, particularly exporters, to adhere to good national and international production practices. The call came at a forum to address some concerns of small-scale enterprises in Accra. The African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM, has launched its 10th anniversary with a call for more funds in performing its reviews. This will further enhance it to come out with more reviews that will promote development in Ghana and Africa as a whole. The First Lady, Lordina Mahama, has called for a firm stance against violence on women. This was contained in a statement issued on the occasion of this year's International Women's Day. Provisional results indicate that Kenya's Deputy Prime Minister Uhuru Kenyatta has won the presidential election. He polled 50.03% of the 4,109 votes over the threshold required for outright victory, but rival candidate Raila Odinga is likely to file a legal challenge if he loses, and Venezuela's Vice President Nicolas Maduro has been sworn in as acting president hours after the state funeral of Hugo Chavez. The ceremony was led by National Assembly Speaker Diosdado Cabello in the capital, Caracas. The news was presented by Naja Gliago
and Abraham Donko in Accra.